a drink in hand, if you don't mind raising it up, in a celebratory toast to the Rosses for hosting us this month, all right? Drinks. And our special guest, Al P.
Yeah, drinks right above the vinyl. Not dangerous at all.
That's trust. That's the type of trust I've got for this, for this group.
You guys such an adult. You guys like a table, you know.
Yeah. I know, it's different to get set up. Yeah.
Like Adrian's grown, he got a table.
Yeah, and the table, man, it makes a big difference.
Yeah, it's nice to be set up like officially. I can lean in a little bit.
Nah, man, we're good.
Let's go ahead and get started with this episode. Yo, Spinheads. Welcome back to another episode of the Next Spin Podcast. This is episode 12. Our little baby podcast is growing up. It's 12 years old now.
It's 12
episodes. Yeah, it's 12 episodes in. To any new listeners joining us for the first time, welcome to the club. If this is your first time tuning in and you haven't heard our interview with music journalist and WJCT's arts and culture editor, Matt Shaw, check out our previous episode to hear about his work on reporting stories for the New York Times and what he's doing to help grow the music culture here in Jax. And since we're doing introductions, my name is Botter. I'll be one of your hosts this episode. I'm joined by the rest of the Next Spin crew, which includes the Don himself, who was gracious enough to host this group of knuckleheads this month. It's Mr. Adrian Ross on the mics.
Yes, yes, yes. Clap it up. Snap it up.
I know, I don't got my my sound pads, that's but cool. You know, I'm gonna drop in the clap.
Why did my voice crack?
Damn, yeah. Now I feel kind of weird about introducing you, Freddie, because I got this nice thing written. I was going to say, on mic number three is longtime Spinhead's favorite voice to fall asleep to, Mr. Quiet Storm
Mr.
himself,
Quiet Storm.
Freddie Douglas.
I'm feeling really lonely today, so I don't have Yaya with me. You know, my partner in crime.
That's right. Our Spinheads know that Freddie and Yaya are joined at the hips when we record these episodes, but we're down Yaya today, man. She's too busy for us.
Yeah.
She's out there, you know, with the morning show and doing travels. And
she's booked and busy, bro. You know what I mean?
She's making that money.
Can't get mad.
Yeah, and since we can't really pay yet, yeah, I don't really know. Get your money, honey. But Yaya will be back for next month's show. You know, with that being said, though, we do have a very special guest filling in for her. He's our guest of honor this month. He's carrying on the tradition of many of our past Next Spin alumni because he's as multifaceted as they come. He's a hip-hop musician, DJ, podcaster, journalist, audio engineer, and the founder of the MPN Network, which hosts a range of great podcasts from Jacksonville, Florida.
Yep.
There's no way in hell you can tell me this man gets any sleep, but who needs it, you know? But who needs it when you're obviously doing the things you love?
That's right.
Spinheads, let's give a round of applause and snaps for Mr. Al P. What up, Al? What up, Al?
Good day, good day.
Al, I'm so glad we could finally have you on, man.
Indeed. Thanks for the invitation.
Look.
And thanks for these mimosas, too. Yeah. Things is delightful, you know.
Yeah. That's how we do here at Next Spin.
For sure.
And I mean, and all credit goes to Adrian and Sabina for hosting us tonight. Yay. Lovely home.
No, doing our part.
They but Al, table.
Yeah, yeah, they got it. Our bar is very low, you know. As long as you got a table and mimosas, we're happy to, you know, to be held. But Al, you're someone that I've wanted to have on a podcast or a discussion on a podcast for a minute. So sure. I feel like it's only serendipitous that, you know, we launched this podcast last year, and we've already got you on. So I think this is a great venue to have you on, especially with your ties to music. So I want to, you know, of course, give you a quick little spotlight, especially for folks that might not be familiar. Shame on them, for the record. But how would you describe your style of music and DJing?
Original for sure. Definitely comes from the heart. Comes from the soul. Specifically when I'm rapping, for sure it comes from the soul. DJing comes from that spot, not necessarily from my end, but from what I get from my people. So I definitely have a soulful expression tied into what people think and feel, their movements and stuff. I can, you know, be in a room and be like, okay, this person look like they have something on their brain. Let me play something that complements that, or kind of break them out of it a little bit, take them away from what they got going on. So I guess it's inattentive when it comes to that. Yeah.
And out of all of the many, 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 many hats you wear, what would you say is your favorite one to wear? Is it DJing? Is it MCing? Or is it podcasting?
MCing for sure. MCing for sure. If I could do one thing, I would definitely be a hip hop artist, full fledged rapper. But I'm blessed to be doing other things too, because because the MCing part spills into the other aspects. So I feel like that's what strengthens those other aspects, especially like journalism, podcasting for sure. Yeah.
And I was curious, you know, with this being a podcast with emphasis on, of course, music, but particularly vinyl, what is your relationship with vinyl and record collecting? Like, do you have a record collection? Or
yes, I have a collection. Been collecting for about five years now, of my own. I always try to start when I was younger, but my family wouldn't let me own any of the records that they had or whatnot. I remember a couple years ago, like, my mom was trying to get rid of some, and it was the movies or the commercials where it goes slow. It's like, no, it just goes slow. You reach to it. That's what it was. And so I finally got those records, and that's when I was like, all right, let me get into the experience of it. Let me go to these record stores, put my hands on these records. A lot of these covers too are so funky. You just like, I want to hear what came by, you know, what's behind this. And me being an audio engineer, the sound of vinyl definitely like enhances the feeling, the overall experience of it. Like, I'll give an example: Outkast, Atlians. It's my favorite Outkast album. Same. And listening to it on a record is just totally different from listening to it on like an MP3 or even the best sound system you have. Just listen to it on a vinyl is just like
that grit that's
right
in that, right,
right.
Like, yeah, hell yeah, I'm totally with you. As a matter of fact, it was one of the first records I bought.
Yeah, okay,
because of that specifically. One of my favorite, you know.
Yeah, just listening album. To Extraterrestrial, like,
come on, man.
Yeah, it just has that. It's a different dynamic.
It is.
Al, do you happen to remember your first record you bought with your own money?
Ice Cube Death Certificate.
Classic. And not too surprising considering, you know, how big of a hip hop head you are.
Whatever word they see stupid, I'm like overly like a hip hop fanatic. So Ice Cube Death Certificate is one of those albums that I remember in my life growing up. And I would, it just moments, when we were talking about those moments in time, you could listen to that album and tell what was going on. Mm-hmm. Like the Watts riots and all that, and being, you know, a preteen, and he's like, wow, this is going on the other side of the country. And he has like the, and then on top of that, he went at everybody. Like he went at everybody. Like, how you do a diss song, you go at like four guys at the same time from a group that you was in? To me, that was dynamic. And I was like, I wanted to get the whole experience of it, even when I went to LA. So me getting a vinyl, I was like, that has to be the first one. And then I wanted to get all my favorite rappers. So then after that, I got Outkast. And then I got Common, and I got Nas. Yeah.
Solid lineup. Solid lineup.
For sure.
As someone who's been making music as early as 2005, like, you've been in this music scene deep for a long time. I was curious, and you're still very active in making music and pretty much, safe to say, anything involving audio creation. How does it feel to be opening, or soon to be opening, for Grammy Award winning global iconic group Boys to Men at the Jax River Jams concert series? Crazy. Thursday, April 14th, for anyone tuning in.
Yes. 5:30. Yeah, definitely come through. It was weird. I ain't gonna lie. It was weird when they contacted me, and I was just like, y'all want me to open up for Boys to Men? Like, y'all do know I'm a hip hop artist and I'm a DJ. You know what I'm saying? I could play some of their music, but it just caught me off guard because it said Boys to Men. And I'm like, I'm thinking of other artists I was going to throw this gig to, like, easily. And shouts out to Love Culture because they was definitely on my radar. But they were very persistent on, like, listen, we reviewed you. We did the history on you.
That's cool.
We definitely would want you to, you know, you'll be a good fit because we want to do R&B and hip hop. And so for them to select me on that, I thought that was an honor. Like, you could just tell from the language that people was talking. And I was like, yeah, they did their homework for sure. So, I'm going to be rocking.
So confusion aside, because I will admit, when I seen that you were performing as a hip hop act, even I was like, oh, interesting. Like, I feel like, you know, this would be an event where you as a DJ would make a lot of sense. But I mean, it also makes sense to have you on as an act, considering like your very long history with Jacksonville and the music scene and hip hop in just general. So, I mean, kind of like, weirdness aside up front, like, are you excited? I mean, you just said that, you know, rapping was your favorite hat you wear. I mean, are you excited about being able to showcase that? And honestly, a very kind of, you know, a pretty big platform, like these Jax River Jam concerts, I feel like every year, at least the trend so far, we don't have a lot of historical data to look at, but the trend so far is like, oh, damn, they're getting some pretty big acts coming to town.
Yeah, I'm excited about it. Definitely to be on a high stage to present my work or whatnot. And it seems like I always have to like remind people a little bit that I do rap. You know what I'm saying? And you know, to the people that are like diehard fans of mine, and I appreciate it, they will remind people consistently, like, yo, don't slip on LP. He got this list. And so between that and just the love that people give me in general, I think it's great. A great start, you know, a great thing for me to be on that platform. I think all that's going to come together, and I'm gonna throw a little DJ in there as well. So I think it's appropriate for me to do the DJ because if it's Al Pete,
for sure.
But the MC side, we finna get busy with it.
That's there we go.
We finna let them know what's up. So
All right, last question I got for you for my Mr. Al Pete crash course before we get into the to the theme and stuff. If there's someone listening right now that's like, you know what, they got me. I'll consider checking out Al Pete. Where should they go? Is there three songs or maybe just one album that you can think of that encapsulates your style the best that someone could go listen to and get an idea of like, oh, this is Al Pete?
Mr. Peters' Neighborhood album, 2018, for sure. Go to that album. That is Mr. Al Pete at a very good moment in life. You know what I'm saying? Like becoming the OG, so to say, like going into that stage or whatever, and everybody noticing like, okay, Al has rapped, Al has DJ, he's thrown like these great parties. Shouts out to Fly Sauce and Tees, August 20th, 2022.
Ooh, they're back.
The first announcement, yes.
Okay.
Year number nine, yeah. So, you know, everybody's saying, okay, he raps, he DJs. Now he's, you know, I see him doing, you know, write-ups for like Void and JME. He's definitely on the podcasting tip. The acting thing, like it's all these things that I've put my foot in, and now I thought it was just a good time for me to do that album how I wanted to do it and really like introduce Mr. Peters' Neighborhood from the MC side to let people know where I was at with it. So definitely I recommend people going to Mr. Peters' Neighborhood. I mean, the recent album BABN, I would say people can check that out too. I would do that number two, but number one, if you want to go to something, go to Mr. Peters' Neighborhood, and then start from at the end of it called Golden Life. Like start the last song on there is called Golden Life. So start with that song and then go to the top.
Done deal. Well, look, there's one thing I do appreciate about the Next Spin audience is that we have some very dedicated music lovers that will definitely check that out. So if you get a few bumps in streaming, just know where it came from, right? You know, the Next Spin community.
I greatly appreciate it.
But no, honestly, Al, we are very glad to have you with us for this month's vinyl meetup, man. Like I
said,
glad to
be here, man.
Coming.
Thank y'all so much, man.
Which brings me to the main topic, man, to the reason why we're here today, which is this episode marks another installment of our monthly vinyl meetups. Like I said, Adrian was kind enough to host us, which also means that he was in charge of the theme. So Adrian, I'm gonna pass it to you to introduce what the theme was for this month.
For sure.
Granted, someone could have easily just looked at the episode title, but you know what?
Nah.
Bring it in for us.
I'll give it to him. So the theme is Soul. And this is actually a collaboration with the founder.
That's right, our CEO.
Our CEO.
Our silent CEO.
That's right. The man with the puppet strings, Mr. Tony Smolagich. But no, I mean, I thought it was fitting too. I mean, you know, he suggested, and I was like, yeah, that's definitely right in line with what I would definitely like to do. And I think for me, you know, with the last time we came to my house and we did this, we did the African diaspora. And I thought that was super broad. And I really liked that. I liked the fact that it was really broad because it gave everyone a chance to come at that subject with whatever they thought would be fitting for that. And soul, I mean, we did neo soul and it was a constant debate that we still have to this day about what is considered neo soul or not.
Oh, Sade.
No, I'm honestly at this point ready to kind of maybe backtrack that.
Yeah, yeah.
But not officially on the mic just yet.
Yeah, you know? Yeah, yeah. Exactly. So as you guys can see, there's still contention about what neo soul is or is not. And Al Pete, I'd love to know your thoughts on that. But today's topic is soul, and we wanted to even in our texting to try to prepare for this, you know, we had some questions like, well, what do you mean by soul? And Tony was gracious enough to give us a little bit of barriers or guidelines on how to go about it throughout the decades, right? So that can help you kind of fine tune what it is that you selected. So anyways, that's it. I really like the broadness of the genre of soul, and I think this is a good one for us to jump into this time.
Well said. Considering, you know, our music tastes, it's crazy that it's taken us this long to do a specific soul music episode. Granted, you know, neo soul, I think, scratched some of that itch of what we are accustomed to majority like listening as a group, but for us to do soul 12 episodes in, I think says something about our restraint. Soul music, I was talking to Freddie, 70% of my collection is soul music, specifically from the 70s, you know?
Yeah, I always tell people 70s, in my opinion, had the best music of all time, in my opinion. From soul to rock to the funk that was coming out during that era, you know, none of these other decades can touch it, in my opinion.
No, I feel you. And one thing about that is really, like, just looking at it historically, I think we now are kind of like, where we take it for granted, right? Like, that's in the background for us. Like, you've got the 70s soul and all the music that came out that during that time. But think about, put yourself in the 70s, right? What were they pulling from to be able to make that type of music? It was just complete creativity. You know what I mean? And so, so to your point, I think the 70s and the 60s were a ridiculous time. You know what I mean? And the 80s, I mean, it's been nuts, man. So yeah, I love this genre.
I always feel like during that time, I feel like Black people were able to voice their opinions a lot better without any type of repercussions from other. I'm sure there's still people fighting back, saying they shouldn't be saying this and whatnot and so forth. But Black people was having a lot of freedom to speak their minds, and they had the money to, you know, have protection, and the labels were backing them, and all these other things were happening. But
when you mentioned the creative aspect of it, I want to throw in perseverance when it comes to the 70s or whatever. And I feel like that's one of the many things that defines soul music. You know what I'm saying? The perseverance and the times that these people that were in, and they pulled from that soul. They went through all this tragic and turmoil and all this stuff. And for them to turn around and say, hey, I'm a make a gem out of this, you know, out of this rock. I think that's an important factor when it comes to soul. And just to be transparent about it, just when it touches your gut, you know what I'm saying? And for somebody to go into their gut and just like pull it out and make you feel it and make you respond, regardless if it's from a drums or, when we talked about an artist, we talked about the different sound that they had. That wasn't, it was different from all the other soul music, but it still was classified as that. It made you feel good, and it made you attentive to that instrument, or from the instrument to the time that they was going through, and that artist alone, you know what I'm saying? It's, all that goes into the soul part of it.
That's such a good point, Al. And I think like what you're saying about the what is it? The resourcefulness, right? Like they're trying to pull themselves out of they're trying to talk to a grievance or whatever. Like you think about the times, right? Like we're talking about the Cultural Revolution. Like there was all types of, you know, assassinations, a type of crazy shit going on during the 60s and 70s. And look at the music that came out around that time. Now you're right. People are speaking to something, right?
Yeah.
And I think people resonate with that. Like, so that's why it was so dope and so deep.
Yeah. One of a good example of soul music was, what was it? The documentary with Questlove.
Oh,
that
yes.
Concert.
Summer of Soul.
Summer of Soul.
Summer of Soul.
Yeah.
Like, that's, to my listeners, if you want to, like, get an ideal of what soul looks like and feels like, definitely watch that documentary, because it was just so, it was so much, so it was like funk, gospel.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So it was just all that on there, but like 4 weekends of this.
Mm-hmm.
And people just pulling from it. And then I like the way they tied in to, what was it, 1968 and everything that went on with that.
Oh, yeah.
You know, MLK just got killed. Right. Like, Kennedy, you know, right. all these things was happening.
Yeah.
So it was a open door for people to be like, I can be expressive. And if something happens, I'm cool. But if not, we going to keep singing these ballads. And we going to keep being the people that we are. Mm-hmm. And that right there, along with having a funky drummer.
Yep.
And a funky bass.
Yeah.
know what I'm saying? And right. that person like really projecting themselves, their voice outside of the way that they talk,
mm-hmm.
and they mean it. Yeah, soul music.
And
yeah.
I wonder how much of that can just be contributed to the gospel influence, right? Like, everything I found had pointed that like soul came out of the 50s, you know, and it was like a merge between R&B and gospel. Like, you had gospel acts that wanted to do secular music. So, and you know, when you think of gospel music, especially at that time, like heavy instrumentation, the vocalist, very strong vocals, but the subject matter was very confined. It was, you know, songs about the Bible and religion. Mm. So you had very confined topics, but then soul music emerges out of gospel, combines elements from R&B. And I think the best way I had kind of heard it described is like soul music is secular and funkier gospel music, you know, like. A lot of that stuff just kind of gets merged in together. And you know, for me, I wanted to throw in that when I think of soul music, I think it plays such a big role in my record collection, because soul music is the soundscape and like the DNA of my favorite genre of music, which is hip hop.
Mm-hmm.
Like, how many sound beds and soundscapes has soul music created for hip hop songs? Like, some of your favorite hip hop songs are samples from soul music.
Right.
And I remember like finding, hearing Jay Dilla's Donuts for the first time. And that sparked like this lifelong journey of like digging for old music. Right. And, you know, because of that album, I started finding out about all these soul songs and really got into soul music. And, you know, so it's just kind of fascinating that, this music from the 70s has evolved. And once it, like a lot of genres that we cover, it's just evolved and kind of changed with the times. But I think soul music, you could definitely still, I think it's still kind of kept a lot of its origins and sounds, despite like having so many subgenres. I thought that was the most fascinating thing about my research, was like learning about just how many subgenres you got. And then you've also got like regional soul, like Philadelphia soul, Motown, Detroit soul, you know, down south and Memphis soul, and then blue-eyed soul, you know, like.
And I get artists now that like, in doing the research for about the soul and even, you know, neo soul and African diaspora and all this stuff. Like, I get artists now like, yo, you can't put me in a box. Like, I can't, like the type of music I'm trying to make, it touches on all types of different influences. And like, I'm not just a rapper, you know what I mean? Or in hip hop or whatever. I'm genreless. You know what I mean? I can totally understand it now.
Yeah. It's like soul isn't necessarily a genre as much as it's like the intention. My
right.
intention is to bear my soul
yeah.
to you
yeah.
on this song.
Right.
And soul in its very essence is a degree of expression. A lot of times we're still categorizing what music should be based on what the labels were telling us. Like, if it's a white artist, it's pop music.
Hmm.
If it's a black artist, it's soul music. Like, yeah. I bought Tina Turner, and they categorize that as a pop album, just because it's soul. It was a very popular album at the time.
Hmm.
But when I played that song, all I heard was soul,
yeah.
in my opinion. But you know
how many albums we probably missed out on because of the categorized stuff?
Yeah, especially back then. It was
I probably missed out on. Well, like, just sitting here talking with y'all, I'm just thinking like, damn, it's probably a lot of music that's pretty good in the R&B section versus the quote unquote neo soul section.
You know what this has become another classic Next Spin episode, where we spent 30 minutes basically proving to ourselves that genres don't mean shit.
It don't,
you know,
it at all.
At the end of the day,
bro.
It definitely don't. But for the sake of this conversation, and in the sake of the theme, there are a lot of subgenres when it does come to soul. Now, whether they actually mean anything or really hone in on what a particular sound is, that's for, you know, your own interpretation. But looking to you specifically, is there any particular subgenres or types of souls that you're a big fan of?
Subgenres are probably, even though I talk shit about it all the time, but I do really enjoy the alternative R&B that's really popular right now.
Like, what are some examples?
Cleo Soul
mm-hmm.
would be a great example of that.
Yeah.
I brought Sir. I feel he's thrown into the alternative R&B vibes. I think Jhené Aiko is even thrown into that category. But it has its own sound, but it's rooted from soul music in my opinion.
Yeah.
My favorite type of soul music, and Al, you had brought up when we were playing records, like, I'm in two camps. I like either the love song ones, but like the very almost pitiful love songs where they are crooning their heart out about this person. And it's like, damn, anywhere else, Pimp C would probably call you a simp. But I appreciate it, right? And then the other facet, which I think where I think like soul music, especially like 70s soul, really shines is like politically charged soul music, like where especially black artists who made this genre are talking about the black experience in America. And I think that's why like early soul stuff, you know, when you think of like your Stevie Wonder's, your Marvin Gaye's, your Ray Charles, like, yo, predecessors, they're the forefathers of soul music. But I always appreciated the offsprings, because I think the offsprings were given the ability to like really, I mean, they were kind of in the midst of it, right? Like Vietnam War was such an integral part, I think, in music shifting, especially for like black music. I mean, that's the whole reason Marvin Gaye gave us What's Going On. It's because Vietnam War. Those are my two favorite camps of like soul music. It's like either you're going to tell me about this woman or this person that, you know, you cannot live without, or you're going to tell me about how fucked up the system is and how it's messing up our communities.
I wonder where that drive went. I feel like you don't hear a lot of that in today's music. And I'm sorry, Al Peter, I have not listened to your music, but your energy tells me that you do speak on a lot of those things, like the Kendricks and the J. Coles. And,
yeah, I mean, but people would define mine as thoughtful. But I mean, I'm influenced by that, though. I'm influenced by artists that spoke about what's going on. I mean, I think about it, like they were the messengers. You know what I'm saying?
On that topic, Al, do you think rap could be considered as soul music? We were on the same wavelength. Yes. Like, do you think that and let's just use your music as an example. I think it's a great example. Would you consider your music as soul music, even though, like, you know, traditionally we'd call it hip hop or rap?
Well, yeah, I would. I would for sure. Soul music and rap would be the backpacks and the conscious rap for sure. That's just my simplest terms of it. So I know for me, growing up, Tribe Called Quest. I mean, even Ice Cube. I mean, Ice Cube, you know, he was very direct, and he would. I think a lot of people would put him on the rap side, but he was definitely he came from a soulful standpoint when it gave us his first two albums. You know what I'm saying? I mean, even the people that produced it, they came from soulful backgrounds. You know what I'm saying? So it definitely has a soulful intent to it. I know me, when I kind of, what I love about hip hop is the fact that I was able to be expressive and be able to put my voice over a very soulful tune or instruments or whatever, which in hip hop is sampling to me.
I think that's where hip hop and soul music make a lot of sense, is like that production, especially when you use soulful production.
You have
that feeling, and now you're merging it with, you know, your rap's interpretation of soul music, which comes from that like content, that subject matter, you know?
Which makes it is the fusion of it. Mm-hmm. It's like a perfect blend of it.
It is.
Like, I mean, we all pulling from the sounds that we listen to with our parents growing up or whatever. So we tap in, bring it out to life, and we add those elements into it. You know what I'm saying?
Exactly, Al. And that's why, so I'm glad you asked the question about hip hop being soulful or not. Cause, you know, like you hear all these Ninth Wonder, Heat Makers, like Dipset has a whole bunch of just, Chipmunk type samples on their records, and it's all soul. A lot of it is soul. And it's perfect, because we just got done saying, like you were saying, Botter, that this content, the content is typically, or I think it was you, Al, saying that the content is people like overcoming a resiliency, right? Like the struggles of living in the hood or living in abject poverty, like, and you have how you overcome that is a standard for hip hop content, right? So you pair that with Ninth Wonder soul beats or Heatmaker, you know, Chipmunk sounds or whatever, and you got soul music in my mind. So
I think you only further the point that, you know, soul music as we know it or as it came out was more of a feeling rather than, like, to this day, you know, Marvin Gaye joint or whatever, an Aretha Franklin song still hits, because, like, I think that's the essence of soul. It's like it transcends time. Like, even the subject matter they're talking about might not be completely relevant, but the feeling is still there, you know, and that's what you're trying to get out of it.
Mm. Yeah. That's the beauty of making music and being an artist and, you know, being a musician. That's the beauty of it. You know, finding out, hey, do I want to talk about this war that's going on right now? On top of that, and within this record, I want to talk about just me chilling with my friends and having a good time. Like it's that puzzle action to it. You know what I'm saying? And then you're testing yourself out on it. But all of this is spawned over like feelings.
Mm-hmm. Good old Mexican pontifications, man. Gotta love it. All right, let's go ahead and talk about some of the records we brought. Like I said, it won't be a surprise to any of us, but of course we got to share it. With our listeners.
I mean, we can act surprised. Yeah.
You brought what? No way. Let's go ahead and talk about what records did you bring for today's meetup. And if you want to talk a little bit about why you picked the records you did. Adrian, you are our host today, man. How about you going to kick us off?
I got it. So you just want me to run through all three?
Yeah, run through
all three. Bet. So the first record that I played, I'll just talk about all three of them. I played Krongbin's Mordecai remixes, and basically Krongbin put out an album in 2021. It was a bunch of remixes, and the joint that I played off of there was My Joy, or Dear Alfred, sorry, was a My Joy flip by a producer named Knowledge. And I like that record. I thought it was super soulful. I love the Krongbin itself. And we talked about this. I feel like Krongbin itself is kind of like this one of these alternative groups. You can't even call them R&B, really. It's just two white folks on guitars and then a black dude on drums. And they're just groovy. And they just put out like fire. Like I love them, all of the music. But the flip specifically by Knowledge just took it over the edge for me. So I figured that's like a new age soul record that I could try to play. So I picked that record. The next album that I brought was I referenced it earlier, was Flying Lotus. It was Tea Leaf Dancer is the name of the song on Reset, the album. And Tea Leaf Dancer again. Flying Lotus is a similar deal. They put out a whole bunch of alternative, just like sounds. But the singing by a woman by the name of Andrea, and I'm gonna butcher her last name, Tiana, I think it is. It's just she's a UK singer, and it's just really soulful. So if you guys haven't heard it, Tea Leaf Dancer, Flying Lotus is a classic song. Like a lot of folks have heard it. And then the third one that I played was Salt. S-A-U-L-T. And the album is number 5. And that came out in 2017, one of those two. As a matter of fact, Al, speaking of Assault, it reminds me of something that you just said. So in 1968, that was a lot of assassinations going on, a lot of strife in the country, Martin Luther King, Vietnam War, presidential assassinations. It was just crazy ass time. Yeah. And a lot of crazy music came out as a result. And Salt tried to harness that after the George Floyd protest in 2020. And they put out an album. I think, Tony, you and I were talking about it. I don't know if it was 9 or 7 or whatever. Yeah, 9. A lot of really good music, and their intention, from what I understand, because they're a very secretive group, we don't even know who's in them except for the producer by the name of Inflow. But they put an album channeling the revolutionary kind of spirit or feeling of the time, and it dropped at a perfect time. I think the protests are happening like in June of 2020, and the album dropped like that same, like the literally 2 weeks later or whatever after the protest. So yeah, Salt, you guys definitely check out the group. But I brought album number 5, which dropped in 2017, thanks to my baby.
Smash with Sabina in the back.
Sabina in the background. I played Masterpiece, which is a masterpiece of a song. So yeah, those are the three joints that I brought.
For sure. So yeah. I think Salt was probably my favorite one you played.
Yeah.
That one was new to me, but really good. Really good. Yeah. Freddie, what about you, man? What did you bring?
You know, I'm short and sweet. So the first record I brought was Donny Hathaway, Extension of a Man, produced in 1973. Hmm. I thought I had it right here. I played a song
that
y'all called it Very Sad.
I'll Always Love You? Not I'll always love you.
I'll never love you the way that I love you or something like that.
Something about being in love. Being real deep love. That real deep love.
That was fire record though.
But like I said earlier, I didn't know he died at 33. That's crazy.
Jesus year.
Hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, man.
Oh, yeah, you're right. Yeah,
yeah.
The second joint I brought was...
I love you more than you'll ever know for the record.
I love you more than... Yes, yes. Love, love, love.
Oh, dang. And it plays.
Oh, snap. We got a little sample there. There you go.
My Siri wanted to get in on this.
Yeah.
About to get us taken off the air.
Yeah, word.
The second joint I brought was Tina Turner, Private Dancer, which is on Apple Music, technically categorized as pop music. Like I said earlier, but in my opinion, Tina Turner is soul all day.
That was my favorite from you.
Yeah,
so,
heck yeah.
Yeah.
I played what's the joint I played?
There's my window.
Can't stand the rain.
That's how it goes?
Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
Sounds just like Tina, see?
Bring it back.
That was actually a cover from Tony, what's the cover from?
And people.
Yes. And the third joint I brought, speaking on the alternative R&B joint, was Sir Chasing Summer. And off that joint, I played John Redcorn.
Classic.
Which had everybody vibing. So.
Yes.
Come on, man.
And I would like to point out that Sabina said, I brought the best selection.
I definitely tipped my hat to the three you brought. Like, this was a theme that I was like, silently competing with you. I was like, if there's someone here that
it's always a low-key friendly competition.
Oh, yeah, you know, for sure.
Hey,
for
listen,
sure.
And I was intentionally trying to find records that Freddie would not have. I'm like, yo, that man has all the dope stuff. I'm trying to find this, something different.
That Tina Turner one was probably, I'll echo what Al said, definitely the one that I was like, usually in all of our Next Spin meetups, there's always one album I add where I'm like, I'm going to go back and listen to the whole thing. Mm-hmm. The Tina Turner one was the one I was like, I need to go listen to this whole album.
I bought that after I watched the documentary. I was like, man, I need to get some of her. I couldn't believe I didn't have any of her music.
Dude, that's what I'm saying. There's certain artists that are so big. I know, speaking for myself, that I don't even try to get into because I'm like,
right.
I've heard enough of, I think I've heard the essential things I need to, right? Yeah. Like you've heard... Tina Turner, come on. Like,
come on, it's Tina.
I've heard that growing up so many times that I don't think I have a want to dig deeper into, but I definitely think I should, right? I'm doing myself an injustice by not.
It's those B-sides you're missing out on.
Exactly, yes. Exactly.
I think people be slipping on the B-sides.
100%.
There's a very small handful of people that actually listen to albums, like full albums, right?
These days, definitely.
Yeah, these days for sure.
I remember I was in a conversation with someone. Hell, you know what? It was like, I think it was about like Ludacris' Red Light District. Mm. And all anyone had listened to in this particular group was the major hits. But I'm like, yo, what about Blueberry Yum Yum? What about, what's the other one on there with the Nate Dogg?
The one with Nate Dogg.
Yeah.
And the beat goes on.
Child of the Night.
Yeah, Child of the Night. Yeah.
And I remember. So you can sing right there. Yeah.
Did you hear that, sir?
You know, it's be funny is if Al just sang the rest of the episode.
I know, right? Like, yo, just sing everything.
Hey, but on a real, I do have a Kip Monroe is my alias.
Oh,
just to let y'all know, yeah. So people, you know, ask the people be like, yeah, Kip Monroe, when he come out, he's singing.
Kip Monroe.
All right. But, darn, I forgot what the point. My point was, I remember in that moment thinking, wow, there's not a lot of people that care to listen to full albums. And to me, it's always fun finding like some B-sides. Like that's what a majority of my playlists are. It's like, mm-hmm. This track 14 on that one album. You know, everyone stopped at track 12, but whatever.
Yeah.
But back to you, Al.
Yeah. That stuff crippled when we had streaming services, man. But when we had cassettes or whatever, we had no choice. I mean, you wouldn't go sit there and hit, you know, fast forward and the whole time. You just listen to the whole album.
Yeah. Cassettes.
But now...
What?
And now you could just pick one song and go from there. But nevertheless. So my first album record, Anderson .Paak, Oxnard, right?
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
For some reason, that's crazy.
It's a weird word.
It's a weird word, yeah. And I picked Six Summers. And sitting here thinking on it while we was having conversations about it, this is definitely like the two things, the black love and talking about what's going on currently or whatnot. Six Summers is definitely like a combination of both of it. But I want to add like the funk to it, which is tied into the soul. Like just the drumming on here was great. The sound of it was, you know, and this came out in 1617. It's a recent album. So, for soul to be present in that time period, it was good. And then my second one was Al Green, the good old classic Let's Stay Together. I was speaking on how I love black love when it comes to soul, specifically. So I think, that's one of my top like 10 songs, love songs that I would like to cut on and, just hear him, you know, saying Let's Stay Together. I mean, I don't know if they broke up or what, but. I don't think they were broke up because he said, you know, you made me feel so brand new. So it was like it seemed like it was the situation was ongoing.
On the upswing.
Yeah, on the upswing. Like, let's take this to the next level.
They had a little skiff, you know, little, you know, she wasn't talking to him that day and he went a little overboard on apologizing.
Like, all right, I gotta make a whole song about it, baby.
She's like, I'm not bad enough.
Yeah. All right, cool. And then the last one I have is What's Going On, Marvin Gaye. I played Make Me Wanna Holler, Inner City Blues.
Yes, sir.
It's definitely like a song about the time coming from the soul, you know what I'm saying? I guess I can say respectfully, you know, being a product of that environment at the time, you know what I'm saying? So somebody being a product of that environment, being able to tell a story, I think that's very powerful too. So,
yeah.
You know, Marvin Gaye is a great singer. He came out of the soul pop part.
For sure.
100%.
And this is when he was fully in it. You know what I'm saying? So for him to be introduced in that field, doing what he does, on top of having like one of the dopest album covers ever.
Is he soaking wet in that right there?
Yep.
Yeah,
at a children's playground. Like, if that is not an abandoned children's playground, you know, like that is metaphoric. You know, that is, it's supposed to be metaphoric. You know, like what's going on here?
He does have like the little shoulder shrug a little bit. Like, hey, what's happening? Hey.
But I mean, to your point, Marvin Gaye is an excellent poster child for soul music, and in a, you know, figuratively and literally. But this album in particular. You know, it was a paradigm shift for him because it went from, like you said, that breaking out of that Motown mold of like formulaic pop music or soul / pop music to changing the subject matter to something a little more deeper and talking about, you know, racially charged lyrics and topics. So, you know, to kind of like to the point of the conversation, soul music just covers so much, you know, it can encompass so much. But I think the soul music that we all think of or really appreciate is stuff like this, where it's like great singing. The instrumentation on this album is fantastic, but the content like transcends, you know, like it still to this day is very relevant.
Wow, I didn't know that. I'm sitting here, I'm listening to you, but real quick, tenor saxophone, George Benson.
Wow, really?
George Benson is one of my favorite jazz people. And you know what? While I was thinking about the records before I came over here, I left George Benson out because I felt like he was more of a jazz.
Yeah, yeah.
But he is on some soul tip, though.
Oh, for sure.
So, yeah.
For sure. All right. So the three I ended up bringing, and I was talking to Freddie about this, that this was a lot harder to curate as far as, you know, I think I just was a little too confident. I was like, oh, I got plenty of soul records. I'll just wait until the day of and I'll pick my three. And that was a terrible decision because as I'm going through my collection, I'm like, well, how can I not bring an Aretha Franklin record? How can I not bring a Marvin Gaye record? Oh, come on. It's Otis Redding. How can I not bring this?
Mm-hmm. I think the main thing was the through the decades thing that threw me off. I'm like, and man, I got to bring a little
that did help.
Each.
That did help. But then the issue was that, oh, damn, all of these are from the 70s.
I got to pick one person from the 70s?
Yeah, from the 70s. So I wanted to use this opportunity to kind of bring records that I hadn't played myself in a while or... you know, kind of like more B-side-ish stuff or lesser known things. So the first one I played was the Dramatics. I played the Dramatics 1971 album, What You See Is What You Get. It was released by Vault Records, which was a subsidiary of Stax, which I learned that Isaac Hayes was like, I think either a founder or a, he had a heavy hand involvement in that. So there's a reason why a lot of the albums that came out of that sound so good and sound alike. Like I had mentioned, the interesting thing I found out about the Dramatics was that their original lineup was Ron Banks, Larry Demps, Rod Davis, Albert Wilkins, and a guy named Larry Reed. They originally formed in 1964, but in 1967, a few of them were victims in the July Algiers motel incident. And if you have seen the movie Detroit, that's what that movie's about, was the riot that happened at this motel that resulted in some people getting killed, some people getting injured. It was racially charged. Of course, police were involved, you know, a case of wrong identity and you know, a whole bunch of nonsense. But one of the victims in that incident was their valet, a dude named Fred Temple. Well, that resulted in two of the members leaving and then being replaced. So I thought that was kind of interesting that they were kind of directly involved in that. And if I'm not mistaken, I think in the movie they do cover that. But anyways, I played the title song, What You See Is What You Get. I wanted to play like some up-tempo kind of soul music. The instrumentation in soul music, sometimes it's just so big band sound, right? Like you can't help but it fills every corner of the room. And then I ended up going more of the slower route, and I brought the late, great Gil Scott-Heron and Brian Jackson album, Secrets, from 1978. I played the song Angola, Louisiana, which is a very particular song, like, right, like the name of a city in Louisiana. But the story behind that is that Gil Scott-Heron, being, you know, extremely pro-black, extremely an advocate for talking about what was going on in America in his music, he had received a letter from the mother of Gary Tyler, who was a man who was wrongfully imprisoned in that Louisiana state penitentiary since like 1975. So he had been in 3 years already by the time this record came out, you know, just wrongfully. Mm-hmm. So of course, Gil Scott went ahead and was like, you know what, I'm going to write about the conditions. I'm going to write about, you know, the prison and industry complex. I'm going to talk about wrongful incarceration. And it's just, and of course, you know, that's the best part about soul is you have such heavy topics, but against very beautiful, well-done music, you know, mm-hmm. like you don't feel too heavy, but you're not too bliss to the message. You know, it's still a song about like, yo, Angola, Louisiana, let me tell you about this particular thing going on. Mm-hmm. And the last one I brought, finally jumping a decade from the 70s, was this, was the late, great Charles Bradley, AKA the Screaming Eagle of Soul, who we lost in 2017. His first album, No Time for Dreaming, was released in 2011 by Daptone Records, which is a great record label for, they do a good job of putting out like modern soul, but Charles Bradley is definitely someone that evokes that, kind of vintage soul sound. And, I highly recommend if you don't know his story, which is extremely inspiring. You know, he lived out of his car for a majority of his, early career and worked as a James Brown impersonator, but Wikipedia's got a great, you know, kind of spark notes, but I highly recommend going to his story. And I was lucky enough to see Charles Bradley come through Jax in 2013 at Jackrabbits and was completely like blown away by how incredible his show was. Like it really made me feel like I'll never be able to see, you know, a James Brown, you know, perform in person, but God damn it, Charles Bradley is the mm-hmm. next best thing. It was mm-hmm. amazing. So I had to bring that record.
Also, his fro is incredible in this, in this photo. Just yeah. want to point that out.
I did want to go ahead and highlight real quick. when it comes to soul and records, there are a few, and you know, I mentioned Daptones, that's why I'm bringing it up, but there are a few record labels where their purpose and main goal is to uncover, you know, soul records from labels that were only around for a year, or two or five, or only put out two, you know, two albums. There's one called Numero, the Numero Group. All of their releases are just, you know, hey, let me tell you about this record label that only did, whatever, Philadelphia Deep Soul. And this is an anthology series about that. That is a fun record label to like get, look into. They're on Apple Music. And like I said, every record that they put out is like a different topic, but within soul.
It's called Numero?
Yeah, Numero.
Okay.
And then there's Coal Mine Records, which they do, they release current music, but with like that old vintage sound. And Now Again Records is one I just found where they have a bunch of anthology albums where it's like, yo, let me tell you about these people from fucking whatever, Gainesville, that only had one song and then they just disappeared, you know? So I got to give props to those record labels that are doing that kind of archival work. So I think we were talking about how it's important that this old music doesn't get lost to time.
Right.
And I think these record labels are doing a great job of putting a spotlight on albums and music and performers that had no chance, right? Like they could never get into even the mid-tier, you know, of fame or right. whatever it may be. So
and I would say if any of those labels are looking to sponsor, feel free to reach out to our fearless leader. Next spin.
Tony Smilovich.
But man, that kind of brings us to the end of the show. This was I kind of like this switch up, playing the records first and then wrapping up with the pod. Like, feels very introspective by the time you know, doing it this way.
Mm-hmm.
Al, thank you for being our guest of honor today.
Thank y'all so much for having me.
We're looking forward to seeing you open up for the iconic Boyz II Men. I know you're going to get it hype. Will you do me a favor and let people know where they can, where they should be following you and how they can stay up to date with what you got going on?
Indeed, indeed. So you can go to MrAlpete.com, MRALPETE. That's the one shop deal. That's where you can find, you know, the Instagrams, the Twitters, and all that good stuff. NPN-LLC.com. That's the NPN Network website where all the podcasts are at, updates and stuff like that. And yeah, just catch me on those two. But I'm always on Twitter. Always on Twitter, Mr. Alpete, MPN, and on Instagram, Mr. Alpete. So,
done deal. And I'll have links to all of that in the show notes for anyone that didn't have a pen and pad handy. Adrian, thank you for hosting us.
No, thanks. Thanks.
Fantastic
to y'all,
job.
Absolutely.
The mimosas was on point.
Yeah.
Between you and Freddie, y'all got any closing remarks that y'all want to share before I wrap us up?
Music has no categories. Music is music.
That's right.
Despite us spending an hour talking about it, just know they don't got no categories. With that being said, there you have it, Spinheads. We introduce you to Mr. Al Pete, probably a reintroduction for some of you.
Yep.
Keep up with Al on social media. We'll have links to everything of his in the show notes. And if you're a Jax resident, damn it, don't forget to check out his performance at Jax River Jams Thursday, April 14th. If you see a tall Bosnian with a camera, that's the Next Spin crew right there, right? Find him and you'll probably find the rest of us. And on behalf of the Next Spin crew, thank you for tuning in. And we hope you learned something new about soul music or just enjoy the dialogue. Please help us grow this show and share this episode with a friend or your favorite music lover and vinyl aficionado. Leaving us a rating and review on Apple Music or Spotify would also be a big help in getting the word out to people about the podcast. And it's free to do, all right? It doesn't require much. I want to thank my co-hosts today, Adrian, Freddie, and Tony. You can check out pics from this meetup over on our Instagram at NextSpin. That's with two X's. But that'll be linked in the show notes as well. That's it for our show today, Spinheads. Come back next month for the next spin. Until then, take care of yourselves. Play your records, and we'll talk soon, all right? Peace.
Peace.